Doctor Show.
You have all made it through the dance. You have all made it.
Coming to you from the X-Access, it's John of All Trades with your host, John X.
Welcome to the John of All Trades podcast special solo episode. I'm your host, John X. Thank you for joining us. Glad to have you back once again. And once again, we go unedited, no guests. Just get me. I don't know how long this is going to go. And to be honest with you, I don't know fully what I'm going to say here. So this is an adventure for you as it is for me. You'll be hearing it as I record it. It's almost like it's live, except, you know, we're not streaming. We're not on the internet. We are on the internet, but we're not, connected, except that we are. I'm going to start over. I don't know exactly what I'm going to say here, as evidenced by that rambling introduction I just gave you. But what I will tell you is this is going to be the last episode of 2015. And the reason for that, there are a few. And I'll just start by saying it's amazing how quickly things can unravel. Now, the last episode that we had was with Zoe Bell and Josh Waller, which wrapped up our coverage of the Denver Film Festival. That was enormous fun. That was one of the best things I've ever gotten to do on this show. Go hang out in the Filmmaker Lounge, talk to really interesting artists, get access to people I otherwise probably wouldn't cold call, wouldn't even know where to begin, and get to see movies that I may not have seen otherwise. You know, I think about things like The Curious World of David Beck, or the Curious Worlds, the art and imagination of David Beck. That was so much fun, getting to see his art, getting to see something like Stinking Heaven, which really, I mean, I say that was a privilege, but I mean, that was a tough movie to watch. That was not a fun exercise for me to do, but I'm glad to have seen it because it's fun to get out of your comfort zone and see things that you otherwise might not get to if you were just going along. And then getting to talk to Zoe Bell, getting to indulge my inner Tarantino nerd a little bit, that was just great. That was fantastic. And after doing 5 shows, 2 in 1 week, 3 the next week, I fully planned on coming back and just doing an episode a week. Now, a few things happened. The first of which, had a few guests fall through. Hit some scheduling snafus, couldn't connect with some others. I've got some in the hopper that I've been trying to get with for months, and just for whatever reason, haven't gotten our schedules to line up. It's weird. You'd think it'd be easier with me being sort of an independent contractor and being in charge of my own schedule. Yet, in some ways, it's more difficult, because my off hours are now different from everyone else's off hours. A lot of that could have to do with the fact that I have, you know, a 13-month-old, and she's sort of unpredictable in her daily routine. And that's actually not true. It's actually extremely predictable. She goes to bed in the morning, she goes to bed in the afternoon, and then she goes to bed at night. My point is, you're fairly rigid around those times. Second thing that happened is we lost our nanny. Our nanny got a job in her actual field. She recently graduated grad school and nannied for us over the summer and for a good chunk of the fall. And then she got herself a job in her field. And congrats to her. She seems to be crushing it. But we miss her. It's hard. Kristen and I have been sort of keeping it together on our own. We've been trading off, and that has not been easy. And my hat is off to anyone who's a stay-at-home parent. I mean, I know I did 2 episodes dedicated, one to a stay-at-home mom and another to a stay-at-home dad. Man, this is hard, hard work, and it's hard to get anything done. So between having some scheduling problems with my guests, losing our nanny, third, we're traveling. We spend Thanksgiving week in San Diego. And not that San Diego needs any more sort of recommendations, because San Diego exists, you know it exists, and you see it as sort of like where all the good weather in the country is pretty much at all times. It's delightful. Over Thanksgiving week, everyone was saying how cold it was. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law, we went out one day and they all had their Patagonia on, and Kristen and I are wearing like a light sweatshirt. We go, "You guys are cold. It's like 60 degrees. You have a completely wrongly calibrated sense of temperature. And it's quite amusing. So come here where we have actual seasons. Where when we left, it was beautiful out. It was like 70 degrees. When we landed in San Diego, it was actually colder. But when we came back that Friday night, I think it was Friday night. Yeah, we flew back on Black Friday. And when we flew back, it was snowing. It was cold. It was like 20 degrees. Our Uber driver was lovely, by the way. And well, okay, so a quick digression. Here's something that bothered me. Our Uber driver coming back from the airport to the home was great. He was fantastic. Drove a BMW M Series. I don't care about car type, but it was impeccably maintained, smelled delightful, helped us load up our luggage and unload it. Just a really super guy. Our Uber driver on the way to the airport, I should have given her a worse rating than I did, but just sort of out of habit, I gave her a nice high rating. She was talking to me about how she was a former entrepreneur, did some time in corporate, and now she's getting, what did she say, like passive streams of income. And at the end of the ride, I should have seen it coming. I didn't bite the whole ride, but on the right when we got there, she goes, "Are you interested in what I'm up to?" And at that point, I go, oh, okay, you know what? Fuck. This was a 25-minute sales pitch. You drive Uber to scare up more clients in this goddamn multi-level marketing scheme that you do. Fuck you. One star. If you drive Uber or Lyft or any car sharing service and you use that as a way to sell your multi-level marketing, your MLM bullshit, in this case, it was supplements, fuck you forever. That's awful. Okay? You know what? I'm never, ever going to take financial advice from someone driving me to the airport. Okay, and that's not me being snobby. That's me wanting a service without being without attempting to be sold another service. Okay, that's fucking bullshit. I don't want you to pitch me your stupid MLM. That really put a bad taste in my mouth. She said, "Let me take down your info." Fuck you, you're not getting my info, okay? Give me your card so I can throw it away in the garbage like a rational person. Jesus. All right, where was I? So, traveling. We were in San Diego. It was delightful. We had a wonderful trip. We saw one of the grandmas out there. We saw our daughter's cousins. We had a lovely time. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Hung out in the backyard oasis. If you haven't spent the winter holidays in a warmer climate, I highly recommend it. We were watching football outside. You know, we put the turkey on the smoker. We're hanging out. We're drinking great San Diego craft beers. Cannot recommend it highly enough. Went to the new Lost Abbey tap room that they have in Encinitas. Or wait a minute. I think it's in Cardiff. But, I mean, that's very specific if you're in Southern California. But, yeah, it's in Cardiff. We were picking up pizza one night, and we stopped by the Lost Abbey tap room. So good. Lost Abbey, amazing. Big beers, though. High alcohol content. A lot of flavor. Really deep. You know, Belgian quads and farmhouse ales, things like that. Just spectacular. When we got back, you know, I fully planned to, I had great plans for this week, but brought back a souvenir, and that was the stomach flu for the daughter. She got a stomach bug. I blame the airplane because, I mean, why not? You know, let's just turn this into sort of a hacky 80s stand-up bit. Where it's like, hey, what's the deal with airplanes? You know, you always get sick and peanuts and blah, gross. So, yeah, threw up in her crib. That was epic. I've always wanted to at 1:30 in the morning clean vomit off of a crib sheet and you know, hold a screaming baby. That's something I dreamed about as a little boy, and now I've done it, so I can check that one off the list. It was huge. It was like earlier this summer when I was hosing diarrhea out of an Exer saucer. But it reminds me of something else, the oatmeal. That guy makes comics about the horrors of parenting. And while what I just told you is all true and all pretty gross, it's pretty rare. He focuses on the poop and vomit of parenting a lot as sort of like the reason not to have kids. And I always found that annoying, just as someone who now has a kid, because, yeah, that's a part of it. But I mean, that's like saying, I don't even know what to compare it to. Like car ownership. Owning a car is great, But if you focus only on the times where you have to take it into the mechanic, or like the amount you spend in gasoline every year, or, you know, how bad a Jiffy Lube smells when you get your oil changed, that would be a little bit myopic, don't you think? That's sort of what these comics remind me of. I get it. They're meant to make you laugh. It's like, oh, hey, parents, cleaning up all the vomit and all the poop and all that. And it's like, yeah, okay, so that's a part of it. But that's not like every day. I mean, sure, I change diapers every day. But it's like anything else. You find new equilibrium. And I think he's overstating the grossness of parenthood. So what is true, however, is when your child is sick and, I mean, they are just shitting their little brains out and your heart goes out to them and you feel so bad. That is very real. And that is not fun. But, I mean, Grace has been sick now. This is like the second time. In 13 months, that's not bad. If I told you you only got sick twice over the course of 13 months, would you take it? I don't know. How healthy are you? How often do you get sick? I might take it. I spent all of 2014. I never got sick. That was the most amazing stretch of my entire life. Yeah, I certainly can't say that for 2015 or any other year in my memory, but 2014, didn't get sick once. It was awesome. Spectacular. That is to say that I got sick this week and got the stomach flu from Grace. And as a result of that, I turned on Parks and Rec on Netflix and put on the flu season episode. If you haven't watched that one, it's pretty funny. It's during the whole Harvest Fest arc, which is one of my favorite arcs of the show. And Leslie steals everyone's flu medication and then gives this knockout speech just to get business support for the Harvest Festival. The key line in that episode, though, is Rob Lowe, who keeps talking about how his body's a microchip and a single grain of sand could disrupt it and could ruin it. He finally gets sick and he's looking at himself in the mirror and he says very intensely, it's like a static shot and Tim just staring at himself in the mirror like the intensity of a caged lion. And he goes, stop pooping. Yeah, that's what it's like. And that's all the detail I'm going to give you. That's all you need. I'm better now. But it certainly ruins your productivity. There's not a lot you can accomplish when you're sick and your baby's sick and your wife's getting sick too. So this house was just a disaster. Just awful. Just so hideous. And so as a result of that, didn't get any podcast work done this week either. Next week, we go to Tucson. Before I get to Tucson, I just want to say one other thing. I know the trope of sort of like parenting is the toughest job in the entire world is overdone. And at this point, it's cliche. But in all seriousness, I don't think I've ever done anything as hard as continuing to parent a sick child while I myself am sick. That's just personal testimony, and I'm not looking to draw any bigger conclusions than that. But without a doubt, that was insanely challenging. Trying to comfort a child that is tired, that is sick, that doesn't know what's going on, that's looking at you like, what is happening to my body? And you basically looking at them going, I'm doing my best, which amounts to, I can't do anything to help you, really. I mean, when you get right down to it, not a lot you can do. Did discover that my child likes Gatorade, though. Because, you know, you're drinking Gatorade, she looks at you like, hey, what are you drinking? Maybe I'd like some of that. And you feed her some Gatorade. And she drinks it, and then she goes, all right, hit me again, old man. Pour some more Gatorade here into my tiny gullet. And you go, yeah, all right, tiny baby. You need some fluids. You definitely need some fluids. And you give her some Gatorade. So that was fun. I don't want to turn her into like a Gatorade fiend, though, because, I mean, that's a bad look for a one-year-old. Just walking around carrying a bottle of Gatorade. Yeah, got to replenish my fluids. Got some crawling to do. Got to crawl up and down these stairs 16 more times today. Which, by the way, was her favorite thing to do in San Diego. Just not the toys, not her cousins, not, you know, the new food, not the beach. No, just climbing up and down their stairs. But that's what she likes to do here, and our stairs suck. I mean, there's like a hard slate landing that's cold, and you grab her little hands and you go, these are like icicles. And nope, she loves it. She'll just climb up and down the stairs all day, which, you know, whatever. I never thought I'd spend that much time in my stairwell in my own home, but I do. So good times. Next week, we go to Tucson. My parents are down there. We're going to go see them for about 3 or 4 days. So no podcast coming then. And then after that, you know, it's the holidays. And who the hell am I going to get to come on the show? And do I really want to spend that time editing? Do I want to, you know, put together shows? There's going to be a lot going on. I mean, I've got end of the year stuff with my day job, which reminds me, quick plug, this episode, this podcast is produced by Deft Communications. Find us on the web, deftcom.us. We are Denver-based content, strategy, and engagement. Basically, if you have communications goals and you need help sort of communicating more or better, call us. That's what we do. And it's been weird because a couple of my contracts are ending here in December. And I knew that in about October. And so I've been out chasing business. And the life of an entrepreneur and the life of being self-employed is just a super roller coaster. I mean, not to say that corporate is any sort of walk in the park, because it's not. And it's difficult and it's challenging, but for different reasons. This one, day by day, sometimes minute to minute, you're thinking to yourself, you're like, oh man, this is the greatest life ever. And then like the next minute you're going, I suck at this. What am I doing? I'm a fraud. They're going to haul me to jail. I don't know what I'm doing. No one should hire me. No one will ever hire me. And it's terrifying. And then like the next minute you're back on top again. You'll get an email or something. You'll call, you'll connect with someone. You'll go, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be all right. Next minute, no, I'm not. Minute after that, maybe I'll be all right. So if you can handle the swings, which I'm sort of wired for that anyway. I used to do that in grad school. Like every single day, I'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then I'd talk to someone else. I'd go, yeah, no, I'm going to be fine. And then I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm fairly neurotic as it is. As I told someone recently who was thinking about making the leap, I'm wired for anxiety as it is. And this just channels my anxiety in a much more positive direction. This channels my anxiety into chasing business and doing better and doing interesting projects and connecting with people rather than the anxiety of sort of worrying about forces beyond my own control in a large company, which when you have that kind of anxiety, you go, what do I do? I don't know what to do now. I just sit here and stew in it, I guess, which that's not a good feeling either. So if you're wired for anxiety, entrepreneurship might channel your anxiety in a positive direction. Certainly did for me. So whatever, there's a little plug for that. Okay, so what else? It's been an interesting year on the podcast. It's been a little bit more inconsistent than it was last year. You know, haven't been as good about posting every week. Did the 5-episode thing in 2 weeks for the Denver Film Festival. Tried to do it all in 1 week, but again, schedules don't always work out the way you want them to. So what's to come in 2016? I'm going to try and, I don't know, maybe expand the scope a little bit. Because one of the things that's weirdest to me is when I did, this is the third time I've done a solo episode. And the response to the first two was pretty strong and pretty good. People were like, I really liked listening to you talk. And as much of a surprise as this going to sound to some of you, that I was sort of blown away by that because I always wanted this show. I wanted myself to be a vehicle. I wanted myself to be a vehicle. That sounds tactically ridiculous. I wanted to be a vehicle. I wanted me to serve. How the hell do I say this? I want to be a vehicle for other people's stories. I want to be the channel through which stories that don't always get told. And how people became entrepreneurs and how they do what they do and what makes society function. I want to bring that to you. I want to be the channel through which you get stories like that that you might not otherwise get. But, I mean, one of the things I realized, and I said this before, is I'm sort of the through line here. And so the more you get to sort of peer into my keyhole, I don't know, maybe that's valuable. So I'm thinking, and it would certainly be logistically easier, of tackling a theme maybe once every other episode or once a month. Or because I still want to do the interviews. I still want to have people on. I love talking to people. I love connecting with people. I adore getting to sort of be intimate with people in that way. And I don't mean that like in a gross way or a weird way or like a creepy way, but in a very sincere way, where when you're having these conversations, you get to really know someone, you get to explore and you get to digress and you get to do interesting things. And occasionally I'll go back and listen to an old episode. And what I'll do is I'll randomly skip to just whatever part. And I'll go, okay, if I just came in on this conversation, could I lose myself in it? And that's how I try and judge if I'm doing a good job or not. And that helps me inform like whether or not I'm asking the right questions. So I'm always trying to think of that. I want to be able to come into any point in a show and within a minute or two, I want to be able to go, okay, what are they talking about? I want to learn more about this. This is really cool. So I don't want to lose that. But, you know, maybe there's some value in me just going solo from time to time. So I'm considering that. If you have thoughts, I'd love to hear them. So feel free to weigh in. You know where to find us. There's Facebook. There's Twitter. Both of those are J-O-A-T pod. You can email me, which I think on the website, the email is different, and I need to change it. But best place to email me is john@deftcom.us, which is john@deftcom.us. And tell me what you like about the show. Tell me what you don't like. Tell me what you want more of. Tell me what you want less of. Pitch me some ideas. Is there something you want to hear me talk about? You know, I have a lot of experience. I worked for a PR agency for, 4 years. Worked for a trade association. Worked for energy drink. That's experience I don't really talk about that much. Worked for a large oil and gas company for 4.5 years. And now I've been on my own since April. So, I mean, there's a lot there. I worked in college radio. I deal with media. I've met politicians. These are all things that go into my day-to-day job. And as I talk about in the origin story of this podcast, everyone's sort of nonplussed by their own job because it's what you do every day. It's what you know. So if there's something you want to know about or just a question you have, I mean, now I have 83 interviews with people from all across the spectrum. For my job, it's so funny. This one gig I had earlier this summer, I wrote bios for this one company. I interviewed their employees and I wrote bios for them that would appear on the website. And I just wrote a magazine feature style, like I was doing a profile piece on someone. And doing this show really helped me do that. It was amazing. I was actually really burned out on it at the time too, because at the time I was interviewing people for the show. I was interviewing people for this company. And then I was cold calling people to get them to sign on to this letter for this different project I was working on. And holy hell, like I was so, so burned out on small talk by that point that at the end of the day, I didn't want to make any conversation with anyone. It was crazy. But I mean, I'm over that. Your projects change and, you know, so does your mindset. So whatever you want to know, if there's something you want to know, if there's a subject you want me to tackle, a guest you want me to interview, whatever, just drop me a line. Facebook, Twitter, email. You can go on the website, leave me a comment. I see all of that. I have no production crew. It's all me. I mean, I do all the blog postings. I do all the web work. I do all the editing of these shows. I compile them. I do all the social media postings. I have no crew. I have no peeps. It's me. John of all trades is John doing all the trades. I thank you. I was tortured. It was awful. I think it's time to wrap this up. That's not entirely true, though. I do have some peeps. And I'd like to thank them for their support during this year's run of shows. And quite frankly, for the previous year's run of shows, too, because I couldn't do it without them. First, I'd like to thank our sponsor, 4Degrees. The number 4DEGRE.ES. They designed our site. They helped pick up. I don't know what I'm talking about. They helped pick the layout. They helped me optimize it. They help search engine optimization. They do everything behind the scenes. They help me get it into iTunes, help me get it into Stitcher. Any tech support that I need. I've had a few things go wrong. Like for a while, my episodes were pulled off of iTunes because our RSS feed crashed. And then for the longest time, only the most recent 30 episodes were showing up. And now, like, all those problems are solved, and they did it almost like with a snap of their fingers. So in terms of web development, social media marketing, web advertising, campaign building, coalition building, whoever you need to target, whatever service you are providing, whatever business you are running, I guarantee you 4Degrees will be of some use to you. I love this company. Zach Knaus was on episode either 7 or 9, and learn more about how he became his own man, how he started 4Degrees. He has actual employees. I can't really say the same thing for Deft, but I don't know that I'm wired that way. He is a guy who is out there creating. He's wonderful. He does great work. Check him out. The number 4DEGRE.ES. Also like to thank my wife, Kristen. Without her, without her support, without her sort of counsel, I lean on her a lot. When I founded Crew Jones Society with a couple of friends in like 2007 or 2008, I called her the consigliere of the Crew Jones Society. And she always is. She's got a good sense for what's funny. She's got a good sense for what's interesting. And I bounce ideas off her all the time. She's terrific. And she allows me the space to do this. Without a partner like her, a show like this wouldn't be possible because it's a pretty big time commitment. There's weird people coming over to our house all the time. I'm interviewing them in the basement. She takes photos of them. She is our photographer. I'll give her that. Whenever people come here, she's 99% of the time the one who takes their photos. So, I mean, I couldn't do it without her. I couldn't do most things without her. She's my wife, and I love her. So that's it for 2015. I really hope you have a wonderful 2016. What am I doing? Let's play the outro here. Have a great 2016. I hope 2015 was prosperous for you. I hope 2016's even better. And we're going to keep bringing you great shows. I don't know exactly what form it'll take, but I want your feedback. So Facebook and Twitter, J-O-A-T pod. Email john@deftcom.us, john@deftcom.us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. Subscribe to us. Every new episode will come straight to you. You have access to all, I guess, 84 previous episodes now. Check it out on iTunes. Give us a rating. Give us a review. That helps us move up. That helps the exposure of John of All Trades. And I love you forever. So, until I see you again, have a wonderful and safe, happy holiday. I recommend Lost Abbey Brewing out in San Diego. There's a free plug for them. And anywhere you can find their beers, please partake in one. Otherwise, we'll see you in 2016. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good, Johnny.